want to say I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. By God's good grace, I'm glad I know that I've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, if you would please, in chapter number 78. Psalm 78 in the Word of God. And when you find that place, let's stand together for the reading of our text tonight. Psalm 78, and beginning in verse number 1. Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their generation, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." One writer said that's five generations of people in that verse. Five generations of people who have had handed down to them by their parents the Word of God. Five generations of people who have been taught by their parents the Scriptures and how they ought to conduct themselves, behave themselves toward the Lord. He said in verse 6 that the generation to come might know them, even the generation which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that portion of Scripture. Our Father, I'm thankful again this night for the privilege that's ours to close out another day in the house of God. You said that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more, Lord, as we see the day approaching. And surely the day is just around the corner. I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, that I look with great anticipation to the coming of our great God. I want to thank You tonight for the blood that You shed for our sins. Lord, for cleansing us of all unrighteousness. I want to thank You tonight for the forgiveness that we have in Thee. Lord, I pray that You'd help me tonight. I realize that I need great help from God. For in myself, I have nothing to offer these people. So I pray for a divine visitation from God. And Lord, as it's already been said, that You would breathe on us in this place tonight. And Father, that You would stir up our hearts in such a way that we might know that Thou art God. And Lord, that we might worship You in spirit and in truth. That we might walk in Thy ways and learn Thy Word, that it might bring glory to Your wonderful name. I do ask You now to give power to preach and provide me with the liberty that I need to say everything in the right way, in the right manner that You've laid upon my heart. And I'll thank You and I'll praise You for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated. I want to look at verse number 5 for just a minute, really, as maybe our text verse and our thought verse for tonight. Well, the Bible said, "For He established a testimony in Jacob," that is, our Lord did, "established a testimony in Jacob, and He appointed a law in Israel." And then here's what God did about that testimony and about that law that He established in Israel, which He commanded our fathers. You're to underline that word commanded in the Bible. He did not give these scriptures as something that we could take or that we could leave, but He commanded these scriptures, commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Now, I want to try to preach a while tonight. The Lord has led me, I believe, to begin our study again in the book of Psalms. I've preached through maybe 75 of them and made some comments out of chapter 78. And I feel like the Lord has stirred up my heart again to go back and begin studying again in the remainder of the book of Psalms. And I want to follow Him in this book as He gives me direction. I certainly won't be faithful to follow Him. And I want to preach for a little while tonight, if God will help me, on the thought of parents' responsibility to their children. That's a great responsibility that you have as in raising your children. You brought them into the world, and it's certainly your responsibility to raise them. And we ought not to shirk those responsibilities. You know, it's easy to shun the responsibilities of parental guidance. If you don't believe me, go to the divorce courts and see the multitudes and the numbers of people that are filing through our divorce courts today simply because they are not mature enough in their minds and hearts to raise their children according to the Word of God. Or as far as that goes, they're not even able to raise their children by secular standards. And they shun the responsibility that God's given them. I read in the paper yesterday of a man, I don't remember the state it was in, but had a little confrontation with his wife. And rather than to do right, that man took a high-powered rifle of some kind. And when his little fourth-grade boy come out of the classroom at school with his mother, that man shot that little boy in the head and killed him, and then tried to take his wife's life also and failed in doing that. And simply because, my friend, that men are not ready to take on the responsibilities of marriage and raising a family. I want to say that it's a great responsibility that God has given you and I as His people. Now, God forbid that us as a Christian, something like that would ever happen to us. I believe that as a child of God, the Lord will give us enough grace to see this thing through. That He will give us enough grace to raise our children. If we'll only seek God's face for that grace, God will help us raise our families. I want to say this tonight, that your children don't have to wind up as gutter bums. They don't have to wind up as druggies. They don't have to wind up as drunks. I've heard some preachers testify about how God had delivered them. And they've been delivered from every kind of a sin that you can think of. And I'm glad that God had delivered them from that. But I want to tell you the greatest testimony that a person can have is for God to save them and them never get involved in that type of a lifestyle. I'm talking about in fornication and drugs and alcohol and running with the wrong crowd in the nightlife. The greatest testimony one of your children can have is for them to grow up and find the Lord at a young age and go on serving God and never get involved in that kind of a lifestyle. Now, the title of the psalm, I may just have to teach. We're kind of slow tonight, but we're going to say something, hallelujah to God. The title of the psalm, I think, is worth our noting. It's worth our attention. The Bible said that it's Machil of Asaph. That is, that Asaph is the author of this song. And the word Machil means that it is a psalm of instruction. It's got words in it that will instruct us if we'll pay heed to them. It has got teachings there that will benefit our life if we'll listen to what God's saying and walk in the commandments of Almighty God. I'm telling you, Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all Scripture, brother, that's all 66 books of the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I want to say, my friend, that it is that indeed. But when God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, appends something down and warns us about that, we ought to give the more earnest heed to what He says. I'm glad that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But when the Holy Spirit wrote the word Maschil up at the top of that by Asaph, He said, attention to you, I want you to wake up, I've got something that's worth saying, and it's worth your listening to. I want to say tonight that all of God's instruction is worth you and I paying attention to. He said, give ear, O my people. Now I'm telling you, when God speaks, we certainly ought to stand up and pay attention to what God is saying to us in our life. The writer here is reminding Israel of their responsibilities and obligations toward their children. I think that we would all be wise. We would be wise to take more interest in rearing our children. I really believe that. It ought to be something, my friend, that is on the very top of the priority list of every home, is to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And this is on my heart, so I might as well say it before I go any further. I've learned a long time ago that a man of God can't teach people any further than he's been. And the same goes with parents on the pew. I'm going to tell you why we've got problems in our children today. It's because parents cannot teach children that which they do not know. It'd be like a little kindergartner trying to go into a university and teach those students in the university. It would be an impossibility to get the job done. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, it would behoove you and I as parents to study that Bible, to show ourselves approved unto God, to learn what that Bible says for no other reason than we might teach them to our children and lead them in the way everlasting, to bring glory and honor to our God. That's right, ain't it? I know that's right. Hallelujah to God. You know what Job says? In Job chapter 11, verse 12, and I've never seen this verse before, but listen to it. He said, for vain man would be wise, though men would be born like a wild ass's colt. Men are born like a wild ass's colt. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, my little Junior, my little Susie is just as sweet as honey and molasses. I want to say to you, the Bible said that little John and little Susie, they're as wild in their nature as a wild ass's colt. Not just an ass's colt, not a domestic ass's colt, but a wild ass's colt. That tells me, my friend, that children, my friend, come out of the womb speaking lies. And if they're not led in the right way, if they're not led in the holy way, if they're not instructed in the Bible way, they will go astray. And if they go astray, I'll guarantee you they'll wind up in hell without God and without hope. And their blood will be on the hands of the parents. Amen. I wish somebody besides Benny and Brother Steve say amen. That'd help a little bit. Amen. I'm going to tell you what one fella said. I'll get his name here in a minute. Stephen Swinock or George Swinock said that them as wild as a wild ass's colt, that is, they are unruly, that they are foolish, and that they are ignorant. Somebody said, oh, my little Susie is as wise. She makes straight A's in school. Honey, I've known a lot of them make straight A's in school, but their heart is as wild as a March hare. And I'm telling you, if they don't have that Word of God engrafted into their heart to tame them, they'll wind up like that maniac in Gadara, living in the tombs, that is, in death, and they'll be as wild as a wild man can be. Yes, sir. But I'm telling you, how we can save them is to get them in church, get them in the Word of God, and not only leave it up to the preacher, but the parents as well take the responsibility of teaching their children the Word of God at home. Amen. Amen. It says, therefore, it is the parents' responsibility to instruct their children that they might come to know God and that they might come to know themselves. I want to say this tonight, that anybody will never have a right relationship with God and know Him rightly until they know themselves rightly. And as far as I know, that Bible is the only book in the world that is able to show us what we really are. I'm telling you, if a young person, a child, will realize at a young age what they are in the eyes of God, they're a sinner. They're a sinner, and they're wicked, and they're ungodly, and their heart is undone. And unless, my friend, they find the engrafted Word of God, they will die in their sins. And if they die in their sins where God is, the Bible said they cannot come. That's right. Children need to know what they are, and they need to know who God is. And they can learn that from the Bible. Now, I want to quickly mention three things about this passage, and we're going to the house. I want you to, first of all, to see God's call to attention. God, this is almost like a military term. You men that's been in the Army know it quite well, what it is when that drill sergeant walks out and calls you to attention. He wants them heels locked, that tummy in, that chest out, them toes at a 45-degree angle, that thumb along the seam line of those breeches. And the reason he does, he is getting ready to tell you something, buddy, that you better learn. And you better learn it well. And God calls this crowd to attention. Notice what he said in verse 1. He said, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Attention! I've got something to say. Give God your ear and give God your heart. For God has got ready to give you something or to say something to you. Let me ask you this question tonight. Should God speak to His children and us refuse to hear? My friend, what would you do to your child tonight? Most of you wouldn't do nothing because I've watched you. Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, don't do that. And it absolutely, hey, and Johnny, don't pay a bit of attention. Now, I'm going to tell you, Johnny comes with that honestly. I wonder how many times God has spoken to us and we've refused to give our ear to listen to Almighty God. We cannot expect our children to treat us any differently, my friend, than what you and I, as children of Almighty God, treat Him. That's right. Shall God speak and His children refuse to hear? Should we not yield both our ear and our heart to what God Almighty has to say? I mean, hey, He is not some bozo. We're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about the judge of all the earth. We're talking about He that will sit on the bema seat of Christ and He that will sit on the white throne and judge every man, woman, boy, and girl. Let me ask you something tonight. Someone with that authority, someone with that power, should you and I not give our ear to Him and our heart as well and soak into our soul every word that God says to us? I guarantee you, if we was called in to a court with a man of authority, we'd lock our heels and listen intently. We was coming home last week, go Friday night from Mexico. And I'd received the assignment of driving. It was my turn to drive. We pulled out of a little town down there, and all at once them blue and red lights went to flashing, buddy. I told him, I said, well, they got me. And Brother Manny said, you oughtn't have been speeding. I said, I wasn't speeding. I'm driving the speed limit. The man come up beside the car and stood back, and he said, sir, could I see your driver's license? And I took my driver's license out the window to him, and he went back, and we could hear him calling in the car, the license plate, and the insurance, and calling in my driver's license and all this and that. He walked back to the back of the car and said, Mr. Hall, would you please get out of the van and come back here? I didn't sit there and say, no, sir. You come up here. I don't have time to fool with you. That man had a badge. That man had a big gun. And that man, I'm sure, had a jailhouse way downtown. And, son, he had authority to back every word that he was saying. And when he said, get out of that van, I wasted no time unbuckling my seatbelt and making my way to the back. I stopped by the road. He said, come over here, out of the way of the highway. And I jumped over to the highway as quickly as I could. He said, I'm going to give you a warning ticket. Said, the only problem, you got a taillight out on your van. I said, thank God. Hallelujah. But he said, I want to give you a little bit of warning. He said, at midnight tonight, your license expires. I said, I've got till midnight, don't I? He said, you've got till midnight. I said, thank you, sir, for doing your job, and I'll see you down the road. Do you think I wasn't going to listen to what that man had to say? That man should have locked me up, friend. You better know I'm going to pay attention when somebody with authority speaks. But how much more authority can they have than God? I'm telling you, the authority of the universe has spoken. And he said, give ear, O my people, and to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I've got something that I want to say to you. Amen. Men will lend their ears to music. Some of you listen to the music on the radio station. I've had people to call me and say, Brother Hall, I really enjoy the music y'all play, but I don't listen to much of the preaching. I'm telling you, that's an indictment. That is absolutely a shame. When people tell me that I'll sit all day and listen to music, but I don't have time to listen to the harmonies of the gospel. Men will sit spellbound and they'll listen to politicians. They'll listen to Rush Limbaugh. They'll listen to Marlon Maddox. They'll listen to some a humorist on the radio. They'll listen to grandpa and grandma and this and that and listen to everybody they can. But they do not want to give their ear to God. You know why? They got enough sense to know that they can let what Rush Limbaugh says go in one ear and out the other. And they can let what a politician says go in one ear and out the other. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You might let what God says go in one ear and out the other. But there's coming in a reckoning day when God will call us into account for everything that we have heard. Can I might just tell you a little joke and get some of you to smile a little bit or at least help me out somewhat here? Fella, Brother Massengale told me on Thursday, he said this pastor went hunting and took a man of the church with him and said they went deer hunting. Said this deer jumped up and they both shot at the same time. Said that man said, that's my deer, preacher. I shot it. I got it. Man of God said, that is not your deer. That's my deer. Said, I shot that deer. That's my deer. They said, no, it's mine. The preacher said, no, it's mine. About that time, a fellow walked up and went to church with them and come up and he said, ho, ho, what are y'all arguing about? The man said, we both shot a deer and it's mine. I hit it. The preacher said, no, it's my deer. I hit it. The man said, I'll settle this argument. Just wait a minute. He walked down to where the deer was at and came back to where the two men, the pastor and the other man, was at. He said, no question about it. Said, the deer belongs to the pastor. And the other man said, how? How do you know that it belongs to the pastor? He said, he was shot in one ear and went out the other. Isn't that the way it is a lot of times with preaching? In one ear and out the other. But God said, give me your ears. And if we give him our ears, the Lord Jesus in the gospel said, let it sink down deep into your heart through the ears. Lord, give God our ears and our hearts as well. I want to say there's great benefits from hearing the Word of God. Don't nobody leave me. We won't be here all night. There's great benefits from hearing the Word of God. May I say that faith is developed. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is no wonder we are so anemic today. Now, I won't say this, church, that we'll never go any further with God until we commit ourselves to doing those things that God's already taught us. I believe that's our problem in our church. We set, some of you sit and pick your nose and look at the floor, stargaze and carry on. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think the problem is we've got the idea we have gone as far as what we can go. Oh, no, my friend. Faith cometh by hearing and heareth by the Word of God. And as long as that Bible is thundered out over a pulpit, God will give a nugget here, a nugget there, a blessing here, a blessing there, and help us grow and go on that we might walk by faith and live by faith and please God by the faith that we have. What a blessing. Give ear. Because your faith will be developed by giving ear to the Word of God. Secondly, knowledge is gained. Hosea said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed. For what reason, Brother Hosea? For lack of knowledge. You want to know what some of our problems is? We don't know enough about the Bible, my friend, to defend ourselves. Now, I'm not calling no names, but I had a call from a person today. Said, Pastor, said, help me out a little bit. Said, somebody's asked me a question, and I got to be quite honest, I couldn't answer it because I don't know that much about the Bible to give that person an answer. And I'm not being disrespectful. I remember it, and I don't know much about the Bible, but I've learned some things about the Bible. Amen to God. I've learned some of the promises. And it's not a disgrace not to know everything about that Bible. But I'm telling you, brother, there is a growing in grace and knowledge. And God help us to study that Bible. Oh, yes. And listen to what God's got to say. That the knowledge that we have about the Bible, that we might grow in it. I'll bet some of y'all have never heard of the superlapsarianism theory, have you? See, I know some big things. But there ain't no need to talking about stupid things like the gap principle. What makes any difference whether the earth was created and 20 million years later God put a man on it? That ain't going to cut no ice in my life or your life one way or the other. I'm going to tell you what's going to cut the ice. It's how we're living right now. We better quit worrying about the gap principle and the superlap theory and get concerned, my friend, about taking the 66 books that we have in the Bible and learning that and knowing God that we might know Him and the fellowship of His suffering and be made conformable unto His death and know how to live and give those precepts to our children sitting in our laps tonight. That's right. It doesn't make any difference where Cain got his wife. Who gives a flip? I got mine in Austin, Indiana. I don't give a flip where Cain got his. Huh? Amen. Stupid junk, buddy. That people want to argue about. What, the sons of God in Genesis 6, were they fallen angels or were they men? Who gives a flip? Whatever they were, they died in the flood. I don't care what they were. I'm glad Noah and his family made it and God put them in the hall of faith. Amen. And gave me, my friend, an understanding of ark building that I too, like Noah, might save my family and my household by doing so. I want to learn how to live. I want to learn how to glorify Him. I want to learn how to praise Him. Somebody said, now you better learn about all the sin that's in the world. I know enough about sin without studying sin. You'd be surprised if preachers that studies about sodomites and liquor and dope to come to the church and preach it to people. I think that's asinine and stupid in a man of God to come to the church and intentionally introduce his people to sin. Why would I want to study about sin? I know enough about it to know that the wages of sin is death, my friend. What I want to learn about is the gift of God that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. More about Jesus. Praise the Lord, the songwriter said tonight. Praise the Lord. And do what? And let the earth hear His voice. And what do we do when we hear it? Praise the Lord and praise the Lord. And let the people rejoice from hearing the Word of God. That's what we need to do, buddy, is learn that Bible enough to come to church and rejoice in what God has done for us. Amen. That's right. That my people are destroyed. Listen to this old verse. People generally stop right there. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. Get this. This is God said this. Give ear to my words. Incline your ears to my law. Thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children. I didn't write that. God did. You won't forget what He's got in that book? You want to close your ears to it? God said, if you forget my law and my words, I'll forget your children. The point I'm trying to make and have been making for months around here, it's time that we woke up and realize there's more at stake in this thing than our own personal life that's been saved by grace. We have got a posterity, my friend, that's dying around us and going to hell. And except they hear the Word of God from Mommy and Daddy, and Mommy and Daddy backs up what the man of God says in the pulpit, our children will perish. They will perish. And I'm going to tell you what, God will forget them. God said, oh, God, don't do that. God, don't do that. I beg to differ with you. I just read my Bible, and He says in it that He will forget your children. You forget His Word. I want to say there's also the promise of increase. Mark 4:24, the Bible said, and He said unto them, take heed what you hear, for with what measure you meet it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Oh, what a blessing. What an increase. God said, if you hear. Now, that's not talking about just sitting in here tonight and hearing. There's a difference, like I said, between faith and faith. There's a difference between hearing and hearing. Some of you will sit in here tonight and hear every word that's said, but you'll not hear nothing. And some of you will sit in here tonight and hear very little that was said, but you'll hear a whole lot that went on. And that's the people, my friend, that will wind up increasing in God. I'm going to tell you what, just one little nugget. If we'd just come to church and get one little nugget, it would be worth it all to us. Somebody said, preacher, I've got to have a whole lot. You ain't big enough in your spiritual life to digest a crumb yet, much less a loaf, friend. Let's not come to church looking for a loaf and stumble over the crumb God wants us to have. Praise His wonderful name. Rusty, I don't know about you, but I want to hear that book. I want to get knowledge out of that. I want to grow. I want to hear God's Word and grow and increase, that God give me more. And God will not give you more until you learn what He's already given you. That's right, ain't it? We don't promote kids in school to the fifth grade until they learn the fourth grade. God don't promote us until we learn what God has given us. Now, three things to end this on this thought, and we'll go on. On that increase, the wisdom that it provides us. Oh, if God's people would just listen to the Word of God, the wisdom that it gives. Proverbs 1:5 said, a wise man will do what, Brother Hall? He'll hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. A wise man will hear and increase learning. Oh, I know we can come to church and we can sit and twiddle our thumbs and this and that and turn off the man of God and run through the routine, but I'm telling you, friend, that ain't benefiting you a bit. You might as well sit at home tonight and watch television or play with your computer. Amen! Amen! If we're not interested in learning what God's got to say, and if we're not interested in coming to church and worship, if we're not interested in coming to church and praising God, pray tell me, why are we here tonight? Why are you here? I started to say it got quiet, but it was that way when we got here. Amen. And then the way that it leads us. Proverbs 14:12 said, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But I'm going to tell you the way God leads us. Jeremiah 6:16, Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way. Stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path, which in is a good way, and walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Oh, getting back to the old path. But if therein is a good way, God wants us to go in. Old time religion. Who was it just told me the other day? I forget who it was. Said Brother Hall said, old time religion is dying in America. And it is, buddy. We've got into this Swindoll crowd. We've got into this Dobson crowd. We've got into this lecturing crowd. Oh, yes, we've got into these know-how-to-do-it boy crowds. But I'm telling you, there ain't much old-time religion, old-time preaching, and old-time worship left in across America. We're just, for the most part, going through the motions. I'm going to tell you, Brother Gene Mathias I'm talking about years ago, he said there's just about a universal deadness anywhere you go in America. And at that time, I thought we had some pretty good life. But I'm telling you, since then, we went down the drain quickly. Brother Gene come up, buddy, out of the old school down at old Dr. Percy Ray's when they used to shout and run themselves half to death out in the fields and have to send a tractor and a wagon out in the fields at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning to get them on a tractor and wagon, get them in and get a little rest so they get ready for the next day. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I wouldn't be caught dead doing that. No, that's right, you wouldn't. And you'll never get back to the old path. And you'll never be wise from hearing the Word of God. And you'll never learn to walk in the way that God wants you to walk in. Honey, I'm telling you, if God told me tonight to pick up this table and walk around the building, I'd do it. I'll never forget years ago, I was in a meeting. Benny might have been with me, Brother Dean Norris, up in Tempe, Arizona. And a fellow from up around Hammond used to do this. And I went up there to hear that man. And he got up, when I started to say he was preaching, I never did hear him preach. He got up and said, I was in a church in South Carolina preaching. And he said, I was a preaching away and said one of them young boys in that church run up and grabbed a big vase of flowers and set it up on his head and started running around and around the communion table. About that time, some young man out in the congregation said, amen! He's the only person that said anything. And this fellow from up at Hammond said, hey, you ought to shut up. He said, that mess ain't of God. God ain't in that. And I just happened to know that he was talking about tabernacles. I heard Dr. Harold Tyler talk about the same incident when I was a student there. And it made my hair raise up on the back of my head. That idiot would come down there and preach and take Tabernacle's $1,000 love offering, go to Tempe, Arizona, and criticize the man of God, and criticize the church, and criticize old-time religion. And I said right there in my heart, if that man don't know any more about old-time religion and the old path in that, he is a lost preacher! Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to say the warning. There's a warning here that God issues about hearing. There was a rich man that died and went to hell. And he lifted up his eyes in torments and he asked Abraham for a drop of cold water and he couldn't get that. And he said, I want you to send Lazarus to testify to my brothers. He said, no. And here's what the Scripture says. And Abraham saith, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And this fellow said, oh, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. You know what I'm saying? If somebody rose from the dead, they'll listen. I'm going to tell you, if a man won't hear God, he won't hear somebody that raises from the dead. No, sir. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now, I won't say that's God's call to attention. Second point, I've only got three, maybe four. God's charge to the parents. God's charge to the parents. Read with me in verses 3, 4, and 5. He said, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of our God and His strength, His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. God's charge. God's charge. Teach what I taught you to your children. I believe that would be God's call for us tonight, folks. is to teach to our children what God has taught us. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. We can't expect our children to arrive at heaven if they know not the way there. Oh, we all want our children to go to heaven, but I'm going to tell you, they got to know the way. Jesus said, I am the way, but do they know Him? Do they know anything about that way? Mommy and Daddy, have you sat down around the table with an open Bible and taught your children the story of redemption? Have you taught your children about grace? Have you taught your children about the love of God? Have you taught your children about the fact they're a sinner? Have you taught them about Calvary and about the blood of Christ and about the Lamb of God and about the power and the work of the Holy Ghost? Have you taught them about conviction and conversion? Have you taught them about convictions? Oh, somebody said mine's too little. I didn't know there's ever too little. They don't understand. They'll always understand. They understand when you whisper in their ear and say, Mama. What makes you think they wouldn't understand you whispering there and say, Jesus? I guarantee they'll understand it. Amen to God. Amen. I want to say the more parental teaching, the better. Pastors and Sunday school teachers are never meant to be substitutes for a mother's tears and a father's prayers. God, help us tonight to realize that the man of God's hands are tied for the most part. I've got about 2.5 hours at the best every week at your children. You've got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to them. I'm going to tell you, everything that I say in all of my life will never be able to do the work in their heart that the tears from a mother's eyes will do. Boy, I'm telling you, if there's one thing I never could stand, it's to see my mama cry. And especially to see my mama cry over me. Or see anybody cry over me. I remember Miss Hall's grandfather years ago when I wasn't nothing but a road drunk. Now, I remember he pulled up beside me, passed out in an old car, sitting along the road one morning. I rose up in that old car, hotter than 7 kinds of blue blazes. And I'll never forget, with tears in his eyes, that old man said, Jerry, I wish you'd quit that old stuff. Now, I have never forgotten that, and I've never forgotten them tears. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Your youngins will never forget the tears of that mama that's wept before them and prayed for them, held them in her arms and prayed for them. And they'll never forget the prayers of a faithful daddy that calls their name from their bedside at night, crawls into their room on hands and knees while little Johnny or little Susie is just about off to sleep and begins to pray and call out to God to have mercy on their soul and teach them the blessed Word of God. Give ear to my words. Hey, and what you learn from me, teach those to those children that you're raising up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And you remember everything the preacher says. Cannot compare, cannot do nearly as much as those tears from a mother's eyes and the faithful prayers of a daddy. One of the commentators said this. He said the first lesson for a child should be concerning his mother's God. Have you taught it? Said, teach him what you will. If he learn not the fear of the Lord, he will perish for lack of knowledge. Let me ask you something, Mama. Have you taught your youngins about Mama's God? Woo! I want to say that Timothy had a grandmama and a mama that taught him the Bible. And he turned out to be a real man of God, faithful in the Scriptures. Yes, sir. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that's taught your children about your God. Have you really sat down and said, this is what my God, that's what he's talking about, is these parents setting their children down and saying, I want to tell you something. I remember how it was down in Egypt when I was under that heavy load, that heavy burden. And God sent a man by the name of Moses. And Moses prayed unto the God of heaven. And they sent lice and flies and frogs and turned the water into blood and sent darkness in the land of Egypt. They even took the death of the firstborn, and he done it all that I could get out of prison, that I could get out from under the load of those taskmasters. Oh, and I remember, son, now that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and like the fool that he was, he followed us all the way to the Red Sea. But you know what my God done? My God parted the waters of that sea. And your daddy, I want to say, son, it wasn't a muddy patch in it. Your daddy went across on dry land. Hallelujah to God. Have you ever told your children about the water that come out of the rock? Have you ever told them about... and bragged on Jesus to your youngins. Huh? Tell them how good Jesus is. Amen. How good church is. And then come to church and show them how good church is. And I enjoy coming to church. I'm going to tell you what. If I was most of you youngins in here and I got old enough to kick out, I'd be gone. What do you show them? You come to church, some of you never even say amen. You don't sing. You don't say amen. You don't do anything. And your children are going to pick up on that. And when they get old enough, they're going to say, why should I go down there and sit all of my life like mommy and daddy has and absolutely nothing accomplished like it has for them? God help us, church. I'm just telling you a fact. I'm just telling you a truth. Amen and amen and amen and amen. I won't say children should be treated as if he was a Timothy. Every one of them ought to be treated as he was a Timothy. The Bible said about Timothy that from a child, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then I want to say that teaching those children the Word of God is evidence of paternal affection. Don't tell me you love your child if you don't teach them the Bible and keep them in church. Oh, yeah, I love them. I buy food and put on their table, preacher, and I put them in a house and I buy their clothes. We love them enough to keep their soul out of hell. What are you going to do if little Johnny or Susie dies and goes to hell without God and stand at the white throne judgment? They look at you, Mommy and Daddy. Why didn't you tell me? Why? Why, Mama? Why didn't you tell me, Daddy? Why didn't you tell me there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Why did you go to church and sat there like it wasn't important to you in your life? Why was this more important and that more important? You're going to the house of God. I'm going to say this to you. They oughtn't be anything any more important in your life than God and the house of God. Period. And that includes jobs and all other. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got one more point in the list, a little old part, and I'm closing. I see, thirdly, the commitment of those parents. Lord, what a commitment. I can't keep up with them spectacles. But I think it's in verse... number 4. We will not hide them from their children. Oh, God said, don't hide them. Don't hide them. What are we going to do, Brother Hall? We're going to show to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. You know what Charles Spurgeon said? He said children ought to be taught to magnify the Lord. Some of your kids used to get up here in the choir and sing and then run and shout, Brother Hall, take a lap, and they'd follow me around. And they don't even get in the choir anymore. Come on in the house. I'm telling you what a great man of God said. He said children ought to be taught to magnify the Lord. And they're taught by example. You can't tell your children magnify God. They're going to have to see you magnify God. Oh, I heard about it, but when I went to Tabernacle in Greenville, South Carolina, I saw it. And after I saw it, I said, I like it. I still like it. Don't make no apologies for it, friend. Children need to be taught to magnify the Lord. We must not only praise God ourselves, but endeavor to transmit the memorial of His goodness to the posterity that we have. If we accomplish this, we parents get this now. Y'all didn't hear that, did you? Y'all didn't hear nothing, did you? I did. Let me try it one more time. Woo! Heard it again. You understand that if you'll teach your children to praise God, that when you and I die, we can be praising God in heaven at the same time they're praising God on earth. Be praising Him together. You know who I heard? I heard an old gray-haired man up there. When I shouted, he shouted back. I had a shouting mama. Buddy, I heard mama shout this short two and two score. I believe she's praising God up there right now. And I believe she's looking down here at me and saying, what is wrong with you? Don't let that dead crowd get you down, son. Why don't you take a good lap? I might just do that, mama. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, mother. I might take one for daddy while I'm taking it. Cater, you wouldn't mind if I'd done that, would you? Just praising God on earth and in heaven. Amen. I believe she might be taking one around the throne right now with Pop. What do y'all think about that? I believe Brenda's mom and daddy might be hot on their heels. If I can get in good shape, here, be like Sammy Allen. I'll take one for Mom and Pop Porter, too. Got one and a half to go, boys. These old legs are holding up pretty good. See, I learned how to praise the Lord. Mama learned how to praise God. I seen my pop praise God. I seen Brenda's mom and daddy praise God. So I'm going to praise God a little bit. I believe it's going on in heaven and in earth both at the same time. Amen. Somebody said, you're a nut. Screwed onto the right bolt, though. Amen. That's right. Said to teach him the strength of the Lord. Teach him the strength of the Lord. What the Lord has done for us, what the Lord has done for us is grounds for great confidence for our children. He said in verse number 5 there, and I think it's verse 5, that our fathers have told us. And I'm going to tell you something. Your children, that gives great grounds of confidence to your children. If they've seen God working in your life, and you've told them about God working in your life, and they know God's done something for you, they can also believe God will do something for them. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Teach His wonderful works, and do that they might set their hope in God. And I'll close with this. I see a great catastrophe of the parents. Verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. What a catastrophe. And I've never seen this, and I've preached from this message, this passage several times. But I've never seen it until I got to study for this. You know that very next verse? Did the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle? You know why I think they turned back? They were a stubborn and a rebellious generation, who set not their heart aright with God, and they forgot all God's commandments. And you, if you forget them, you certainly can't teach them to your family. What responsibilities? What are we going to do with them responsibilities, Mama? What are we going to do with them, Daddy? Huh? Let's stand together.